Good morning, and I would like first of all to thank the organizers for giving me the opportunity to speak about this work, which is actually a joint work with Simone, which you already know, and Miguel Muñoz, who is also in Spain. And I would like also to thank Michael for the nice introduction to the neutral model, which will help me. So, just to remind you what are species-area relationship. Essentially, what one asks is what is how the number of species of a given trophic level change by changing the sample area. This is just a visual example. And how they look like is this picture is taken from an old plot by Preston. And typically, you have that such curves have this three-phasic shape. You have a rapid increase of diversity at local scales, a nearly linear increase at very large scales, and then you have a sublinear intermediate scale regime, which is typically well described by, as a power law since Arrhenius, even though there are also other models, and data seems to, depending on the kind of organisms, to agree more on one model or the other, and also other several other models have been introduced. And essentially, one wants to describe pattern like that, have two possibilities, either to resort to classical somehow explanation, which somehow require the fact that there is a object differentiation, niche concept, and all the things we heard about this this workshop. Another possibility, which I mean has been nicely introduced by Michael, is to disregard these aspects and consider simply stochastic mechanism, like ecological drift, which is similar to genetic drift, dispersal limitation, and speciation. And okay, just to give you an idea of how these exponents change in nature, these are plots taken from this work by Dracar, who collected this almost 800 empirically measured species error curves. And he has shown, for example, that there is a correlation of the value of the exponent with the latitude. And also, and this is more interesting for this talk, with the body size of the considered animals. Typically, you have that microorganisms tend to have a smaller exponent with respect to larger organisms. This is a quite typical pattern. And actually, this correlates with another observation that you have in microorganisms, which is their cosmopolitan behavior. This is a nice work by Finlay and Fetchel, actually a series of work. They just study two locations. The eukaryota found in that location. They searched for all through the literature where these animals were found, and they somehow measure the fraction of those microorganisms which are found also in very distant part of the globe. So to define a sort of cosmopolitan behavior for such species, and you see that this correlates with the organism size. So very small organisms tend to be cosmopolitan, which is also agreeing with the fact that they have a lower variation of diversity with the change in the scale. So neutral theory has been well introduced by Michael. I just here put a cartoon to say that, okay, it is quite a reasonable maybe to assume ecological equivalence to Kur. But anyway, what is interesting of this theory, to my opinion, I'm actually an outsider to the field of ecology, is that it emphasizes basic effects which are anyway present also if you consider more realistic visions in which you include nicks and so on. Essentially, these are the birth-death process, the dispersal limitation, and how innovation come in, so speciation. And coming to spatially, so while before they were discussed the mostly, especially in the first part of the previous talk, spatially implicit model with the meta community and Iceland, here I will discuss spatially explicit models. This is one of the most common one, which is essentially a spatial version of the Moran model. and has been exported to ecology, as far as I know, the first time by Durrett and Levine. I don't know if there were previous attempts. And essentially, you have you work on a lattice. You have one individual, one tree for each point of the lattice. You have at each time step, one is randomly picked and killed. So you have that event. Then you have, with probability new, the individual is represented by new species. So you have a speciation, point mode, as described in the previous talk. Or with probability 1 minus new, you have a bird from a neighbor site. Okay? And so you replace with a copy of an existing individual. And you repeat this game till equilibration. And the equilibration looks like this. This is, for example, if you have a nearest neighbor dispersal kernel. Here, if you have a more general continuum, like a Gaussian kernel. And what is nice is that this model can be simulated very efficiently using a technique based on the coalescent, which comes from genetics. I have no time to discuss that. Anyway, if you are able to simulate a system which is large enough, you obtain, for example, a curve like this, a species error curves, which, at least at qualitative level, looks very alike to those that you measure. So you have a stiff increase of diversity at low scales, intermediate region here, and then almost linear behavior at the end. And also notice that the transition of these between these two regimes can be somehow reconducted to the ingredient in the model. The first transition occurs at scales which are the order of the range of the kernel you use, and the second transition is at the order of the inverse of the speciation rate. What is interesting is that, and this has been shown by Rosin and Cornell for the first time, is that if you change the range of the kernel, you can anyway rescale the curve to see that essentially the exponent in the intermediate region doesn't change. So essentially, this points out to the fact that in this neutral framework of this kind of model, somehow all the shape of the species error curves are fixed by the once you fix the speciation rate. So there is a big role of the speciation rate. And this was also pointed in the previous talk. You need large changes in the speciation rate to explain variation or big variation of the exponent, as we saw are empirically found. Another observation is that, this model was somehow you can provide some analytical estimate, and this has been done by Durrett and Levine, and we were able to simulate very small speciation rate and to see that while the precise values of this analytical estimate are not correct, the functional form is the same. The functional form is essentially that zeta decreases logarithmic as the inverse of the logarithm of the speciation rate. Just keep it this, I will discuss it at the end. The main point I want to make here is I want to ask if there are other shaping factors, other factors which can affect, for example, the value of the zeta exponent, and so to account for the variability which is observed in nature. So, of course, speciation is an important factor and has been truly discussed in the previous talk. The main point is that it's very difficult to simulate a large system large enough to have a systematic study and to understand really the effect of other speciation mode. Another possibility is to change the finite range dispersal to fat-tailed, and this mimics like an increase of the speciation rate. And this has been explored by Rosin and Cornell in a special model. And this can somehow account for a variability of the shape of the species error curve without changing the speciation rate. There is another aspect which has been somehow neglected, in our opinion, that I want to like to point out in the next few minutes, which is the role of habitat occupancy. Habitat occupancy, in the model I described, you have essentially one individual per site, and so you have also habitat saturation. You can change habitat occupancy, either eliminating saturation or allowing for more individuals to be present, which you would like to do, for example, if you want to model microorganisms, like patches of with the large local populations connected by migration. So if you change habitat saturation. This can be done, for example, changing slightly the model and using, for example, the multi-type contact process, where you have a dead rate, individual goes dead with a rate delta. They give birth, they reproduce. They can reproduce only if the neighbor site is empty, and with the probability nu, they give rise to speciation. Okay. And you see that changing the ratio between these two rates led to variation of the shape of the species curves. But essentially, you see that if saturation is not strongly violated, you don't have a big variation. This is agree somehow with what is observed in spatial implicit. More interesting is to see what happens when you change the local population size. This is the stepping stone model, which is a very well known in population genetics since Kimura. Essentially, it's a straightforward generalization of the model I discussed at the beginning, where you have m individuals per site. When you have m individuals per site, you do the dynamics exactly as in the Wöther model. So you have you kill an individual in one site, but now one site has m individuals. This is an example for m equal to 5. Once you kill it, you can either replace it with a new species, with an individual from a new species with probability nu, or with probability 1 minus nu, you give birth. You have a reproduction process, which can be either from neighbor site with probability mu, or inside the same site with probability 1 minus mu. So you have somehow, with probability 1 minus mu, you have a pan-mitic population on the site. And then you can, of course, change the various parameters. And what is interesting is that you have two well-identified regimes. Either you have that the parameter m times mu is very small, so if you have either a very small migration or a large population. In this case, you have that the intra-site dynamics, so what's happening inside one site, is much faster than communication with other sites. You get rapidly to local fixation, and you recover essentially the behavior of the model with a single individual. While if you have a large population size or large migration, intra-site fixation is inhibited, and somehow you have less diversification inter-site. And this may be a mechanism which can explain, for example, the fact that you have a smaller zetic exponents for microorganisms. Okay, I have no time maybe to discuss this. I just want to point out that the different models are characterized anyway by the same functional form and the dependence of the exponent on the speciation rate is the one that I was discussing before. And this may be due to the fact that you have a single point speciation mode. So coming to conclusions, we think that the local occupancy is somehow an ingredient which can be important if one wants to account for variability in species area relationship in the natural context, and especially if we want to, for example, explain what happened for microorganisms in a network framework. This universality of the functional form of the zeta as a function of the speciation rate is possibly due only to the fact that we are using a point speciation mode. And I think that as a perspective, on one side, I agree with Michael that it should be important to explore more realistic speciation mechanism, especially the explicit context. On the other side, I think that it would be also very interesting to develop neural models specialized for something like microorganisms to compare with the microcosmos experiments. Thank you.
Quick question. Yeah, so Russell and Cornell, they reported sort of a statistical relation between speciation or the slope and the speciation rate. How does that match with your prediction?
You don't understand the distinction.
So you had a ZU is a logarithmic. They had a different.
Yeah, actually, the fact is that they did the simulation stop. They didn't were able to go or didn't want to go below nu 10 to the minus 5, 6. And if you stop at 10 to the minus 6, their prediction, which is the power law, agree exactly with our simulation. So we have the same value, for example. But since the logarithmic decay is very slow, you have to go to a huge range of specification rate to see something different, and to see, for example, that the prediction by Darrett and Levin is working. It's just a matter of...
Okay, thank you again. Oh.